Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And
it's good to be back.
It's good to be back, yes, indeed. No Chris Zook tonight. Interestingly enough, we were going to have the full crew, but Zook watching the hockey game as we record this on a Thursday night, of course.
Celebrating the huge Habs victory.
But, you know, a little bit of a gap in the recordings after both you and I separately move houses. So now comfortably ensconced in our new surroundings and ready to talk some baseball once more. And we'll start with your team, the Blue Jays, and a couple of notes. One very positive, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Retaking the lead in the home run batting race there this evening on Thursday night. He is now up to 24 home runs and just also killing it on the OPS too. I don't know if you saw his OPS.
He's the best hitter in baseball.
He's the
best hitter in baseball. That's it. I mean, that there's nothing else around it right now. He is the best hitter in baseball, and it's unbelievably awesome. You know, he's the prince that was promised after years, you know, of people telling us that, like, yeah, well, that he's going to be incredible. After years of people telling us he's going to be incredible, and then him being, you know, good but not mind-blowingly good over the first two seasons, he's currently slashing 340, 442, 664 for an embarrassingly amazing 194 WRC plus. That means he is 94%. Let me repeat that. 94% better than the average major league hitter. That's insane. Over freaking 72 games played so far. So, like, what is that? Like, still less than half a season. He has put up 4.2 wins above replacement. That's nuts. He's incredible.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, when you say the you know, the prince that was promised and hadn't quite lived up, I mean, we've had some, you know, niggling issues in terms of injuries and things that had kind of held him back or just, you know, cost him like a full season and kind of getting his rhythm. And then obviously last year with the COVID shortened year, everyone kind of was out of sorts, right? Like, I mean, no,
right.
A shortened spring training, then a gap. And so no chance to establish a rhythm. Whereas this year he really has hit the ground running.
He is currently on DraftKings Sportsbook. He is 1-1 odds to win the American League MVP. 1-1. You get your money back if he wins it.
Yeah. I was looking at the batting average right now, he's third behind Michael Brantley and Nick Castellanos. Brantley has played in 16 fewer games, I think, at this point. So yeah, like, I mean, that's the closest person to him in terms of a batting average in the AL, and not even close on the scoring, runs, his OBP, like all of that stuff. It's just, it's crazy. It's
and
fantastic.
Yet the Jays just cannot get out of their own way.
This is okay. So yeah, and so that leads me to the second piece of news, and that is, unfortunately, the Nate Pearson back on the IL, his second IL stint for the same injury this season. That is a groin strain.
It's not great.
No. And so he's apparently actually, this is according to CEO Mark Shapiro on Sportsnet 590, saying that Pearson is headed for a fourth opinion on the injury now.
Look, he's young, but when you see stuff like this, it's not good. You know, this is the kind of thing that you see that kind of derails careers.
Right. And this is a guy, I mean, he's had a few different injuries. It's been a persistent issue in terms of, like, you know, not getting a lot of innings. Some of them have been really, like, fluky, right? Like, he fractured his forearm after getting hit by a comeback liner in 2018. And that was certainly not something like that. That's not attributable to anything
other right. than I mean, just there,
bad,
there are,
bad
there
luck.
Are right.
But he then did sustain an oblique strain while he was rehabbing that fractured forearm. Right. And
yeah,
so,
I mean,
he ended up with just 1 2/3 innings in 2018.
Some players are just like, they're injury prone is the wrong word. I don't know how to put it, but
right. Cause that does, it's injury prone seems to suggest that, like, they cause injury to themselves or something, but that, like, yeah, they have a fragility or like a higher than average chance of getting an injury that takes them out for a stretch of time.
So the best way I've ever heard it put was, like, sometimes there are players who athletic gifts exceed their body's capability to hold them.
Mm.
You know, and you know, there are certain guys that, like, are incredibly fast and can run incredibly fast, but just, you know, they don't, their bodies just can't keep up with it.
That, like, the knees give or something like that. This actually makes me think, like,
hamstrings or whatever.
I know we do some cross sport comparisons, but, like, something like Bill Walton.
Exactly. You know, his athletic gifts, what his body wants to, like, what he wants to do and what, you know, he has the skill to do, his body just doesn't have the durability to handle. And as a result, you end up with guys who are perpetually promising but can't really ever stay healthy. And I don't know, man, every single time something like that happens with Pearson, I just get that feeling. I just get that feeling, you know, that, like, this is what he's destined
guys.
For. This is one of those guys, you know, gifted with 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but not gifted with the body to be able to allow him to throw it every day.
Right. And I suppose that's, like, you know, guys that have, like, high velo, but that the elasticity of their arm maybe inhibits their ability to, like, do it over a sustained period of time. Right.
Yeah. Can't get it done. You know, begs the question of whether or not you should just, like, obviously he's still young, but maybe he's just a closer.
Right. That you know,
he only throws 70 or 80 innings a year instead of trying to push him to throw 160, 120, whatever. I don't know. I'm not the Jays. I don't have those reports, but man, it just makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a question to consider. I mean, obviously when you're talking about a guy who's now on his fourth opinion for the same injury and a second stint on the IL for that injury, that's a big question mark.
Huge. You know, it's not even just that, but the fact that how much have we seen of healthy Nate Pearson period since the Jays drafted him?
Well, very little, right? Because like I said, 2018, very, very 1 2/3 inning. This season, only 27 innings between his IL stints. So it's there's not a lot to it. So it's a tough break for them. We are joined actually a little late on the bullpen phone by Chris Zook.
We're taping this just as the Montreal Canadiens just got to the Stanley Cup final. So
there you go.
I'm happy tonight.
Now you're happy. Okay, so we were asking, like, were you always a Habs fan, or is this tied to the Expos, or what's the?
No. You know what? I've been a Habs fan for a long time. This is going back decades and decades, right? I remember 93. That was the last time and a Canadian team won in the Montreal Canadiens. So I've had two, because the Jets are always here too, but the Habs were something that's, you know, they're just, they're the last Canadian team. But yeah, I've been a Habs fan forever. So I'm pretty happy about that. I know Brian is a big Lightning fan. So that
my dad's a huge Habs fan.
His dad's a Habs fan, though. That's
massive Habs fan. And,
right.
My roots are with the Habs. My earliest memory that I have is being up in my crib, just bawling my eyes out because I couldn't see my parents put me to bed just as Patrick Waugh was about to get handed the Stanley Cup.
That couldn't
happen. I wanted to see that, right? So my roots are in Habs fandom. But
I'm gonna give you a quick story here because I don't want it now. You know what? I'm not gonna jinx you. I'm not gonna tell the story.
I don't think the Lightning are winning the night that this is airing. I think it's gonna be a Habs Islanders boring.
No, Stanley Cup final. I was gonna say something about the finals, but I don't want to jinx because they're not there yet. So I'm a pretty superstitious guy, I gotta be honest.
No, I don't think they're winning, dude. Not a hockey podcast, so we're not gonna talk about it here. But I think the final is gonna be Islanders Habs.
Yeah, we'll see. But you know, anyways, it's I'm jumping in here. So
you mentioned cheering for the Canadian team. So we were, of course, talking about the baseball Canadian team, the Blue Jays, and Nate Pearson.
Well, they're going back on the IL. They're still in Buffalo. But
yeah, I know. So, but yeah, talking about Pearson, what we hadn't gotten to yet was what this does in terms of the Jays at the trade deadline and whether they're going to need to look for an arm, because
they're in the race, right?
Because here's one thing, Brian. I mean, we talked about this, you know, quite a bit this year, but you don't want to waste literally an MVP year of Vladdy. I mean, this is right? So this doesn't happen. Like, I mean, he's ahead of schedule, I think, right? I mean, he's just been amazing, right? And the offense is there. They got to find pitching. Like, there's no excuse for this team to sit on.
The thing is, I don't think they've announced it yet, but all the websites seem to be thinking that the wild card is only going to be two teams again this year. It's not going to be expanded playoffs.
No, I don't think it is going to be, no.
And the Jays are currently five games back of the Boston Red Sox. Five. That's a stretch.
Lots of baseball. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, they're, I got to give them credit in regards to just staying in it a bit, because I mean, their pitching is really where they're suffering. Right. I mean,
the hitting's all there.
Hitting's always there. You know, you got to beat up on the team of Baltimore, right? You know, got to beat up on the Tigers. You got to beat up on these teams that are, you know, low in the division and try and eke out some, you know, splits on the big teams, right? Because, you know, I'll say this, it's good because I don't think they're out of it at all in regards to, I mean, they're still, you know, a good run, they could kind of make it, but I just hope they don't sit on their wallets and not make a move here. They just have to
make a push. I agree.
They got to make a push, right? Because Vladdy is literally destination baseball as much as Ohtani this year and you know, Tatis and Acuna and all the rest of them. But I mean, Vladdy every night is doing something pretty amazing, right? And so you just want, if you're a Blue Jay fan and you're cheering Canada, right, that, you know, geez, give him some help, right? Give him some help. Give the team.
Who's on the block? What pitcher do you think is out there that they can go get? Like that helps.
Oh, that's a great question. I'm trying to think, you know, I'm trying to think of the teams that aren't doing well, right? Who can you kind of,
if Sonny Gray was healthy, I'd say Sonny Gray, but not him.
Is there something that's, I'm just curious, like, is there a rumor mill sort of that's going that there might be,
everybody's real tight-lipped. Yeah. Everybody's really tight-lipped.
I will say this is the interesting thing.
Is Max Scherzer on the block?
Well, I mean, the thing is also, I mean, we're going to, if we haven't talked about this, does anything change because of what's happening about the pitching, right? Do we see guys that are available because now they're not pitching as well, possibly, right? Like, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. Like, we'll see what shakes down here about the new restrictions and regulations sort of on the pitching. But I mean, obviously, as we get closer to the trade deadline, there's got to be something going here. And the Jays got to stay in there, right? They got to stay close, be competitive for that wild card, whatever, if it's two or more. But I think it's going to only be two. But yeah, I mean, I would like them to make a little bit of a run here, because I think if they could get into the playoffs, they've got the offense. Maybe they can win 10-9 games, right? Who knows, right? Somehow the Montreal Canadiens just got the Stanley Cup Finals, and they're the opposite of the Jays, right? They have very little offense, and they're just winning on defense. So
different sport, but yeah.
But you can win different ways. You know what I'm saying? Is like somehow maybe this is the year where offense, they could just pile up the runs and somehow just eco wins.
I don't know. Not working for them right now. That's the problem.
It's not sustainable, right? It just isn't over 162. You just can't do that, right?
Well, I think over 162, it probably might be a little bit better than, you know, counting on your bats to be hot for, you know, 4 days in October.
Sure, but you need to get there, right? And the problem is that how do you – you know, yeah, is there enough series? Is there enough games? Is there enough pitching? Like, I mean, can Robbie Ray, can some of their pitching, you know, I mean, I don't even know about the bullpen, I'll be honest. Like,
are the Twins open for business?
Oh, yeah. Berrios. Ooh, Berrios is the one I've heard. I've heard Berrios is the one that could be, because the Twins.
It's funny, I was just looking at a former Twin for you guys. I was looking at Kyle Gibson.
Oh.
On the luckless Rangers, he's pitching well.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
Hap's been pretty good this year too. Well, no, I guess not super good, but he had that stretch where he was really good.
I'd say this: if you could pry Berrios out of there, I don't know if that's possible.
I don't think you're getting Berrios.
I think that's the stress. A real big stretch.
It would be, but maybe. You never know. I don't know if it's going to be a fire sale or not. I will say this, and you know this, Michael, it's just been a disaster here for the Twins. I mean,
And now Yoan Duran placed on the IL. Oh boy, I think it was shoulder soreness. I saw that piece of news today.
And I just feel for Buxton. I mean, the guy.
Elbow strain.
Yeah.
Won't need surgery apparently, but not good. I was just looking at possible. I mean, a lot of the arms that are on the trade block are relievers, of course,
which the Jays still need.
Which the Jays need, and which GM Ross Atkins was quoted as saying they were in the market for.
There's been a lot of buzz
with the Pearson thing and with Matt's on the IL because of COVID. There's certainly possible.
You need both.
Right. I would agree. I was just going to say that, Brian, is that you need both. You can't be selective here. Like, both would take one of each something, right? I mean, it's just not good enough. It's just not going
to
make it.
The pitching is just not even anywhere close to being good enough. It's not anywhere close to being good enough.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, I was just trying to think, like, who are some of the names on the closers, Michael, just out of curiosity?
Give me one second. Sorry. Because of course I was,
Craig Kimbrell apparently is getting his name floated out there quite a bit.
I mean, the problem is you hope you just don't overpay for one of these guys, right? Like, I mean, you know, you get them for something, but don't give the farm away just for, you know, just for a rental, right? I mean,
right.
But that said, is, I mean,
Jose LeClaire,
The Jays aren't the only like teams that one too. Looking. Oh, that I like that one actually. That's not bad.
There's some players on the O's I think that are pretty decent, right? Too.
Right. Orioles. Cahill on the Pirates.
Oh, okay. I like him. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the O's depth chart because they definitely Paul Fry,
Clippard on the Diamondbacks.
Paul Fry and Cole Sulcer are definitely guys I would be interested in off the O's.
Right.
And they wouldn't be that much for
Kyle
for,
Zimmer from the from your Kansas City Royals.
What about Wade Dave? Is it Davis still there at the with the Royals? Who's with the Royals? Who's got who's pitching like for
being
the
Greg Holland?
Oh, sorry, Greg Holland. Yeah, that. I mean, Holland might not be bad, right? I mean, yeah. Something like that, right? They just need to do like I also think it would help not just on the field, but just
or like Joaquin you know, Soria.
He's currently got a 4.45 ERA and a 1.52 WHIP on the season through 28 innings. It's not yeah. great.
It's not great.
But maybe change of scenery. Hard to say, right? I mean, I just think they also need to do that for the dugout, right? They need to do that for the team, just sort of saying management's got your back. We're going to give you some help, hopefully, on the field to, you know, make the push to try and make the playoffs here. I just think it's sort of there. I mean, their offense, nothing wrong with that. They need it on the other side. And somewhere... Oh boy, I tell you, if they don't do anything, you know, when we get to the trade deadline, it'd be very bad for as a Blue Jay fan, just in general, just because you know I'm a believer of you got to go for it when you have the chance. You just you know what are you going to wait around here? Vladdy have another MVP season? Like I mean, you know he's having one right now. Take advantage of it.
You of course mentioned in relation to Vladdy and like one of the two most exciting players, that Ohtani being the other. I don't know if you guys saw that he made yet another piece of history tonight. So interleague game against the Giants, he became, I think, the first pitcher to DH for himself.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. The Angels electing to use him in the DH position and to hit because
so where did he hit in the lineup then? Do you know by any chance?
Usually hits two or three.
Yeah, like so. Oh, that's unbelievable. I just
yeah. I'm it was another. This. It was another like one of those like weird pieces of news where you're like, of course, right? Like you could tell me just about any piece of like news around Ohtani and something he did that's never been done before.
Well, there's a couple that I know of this week too. So first of all, he there's always Ohtani bombs. Like every time he's hitting one, it's the smack off the bat.
Monster.
It's like 450s, right? But there's a couple that he did. He pitched this week, and again, the Angels just blew a great outing. He had, I think, he had like 8 or 9 strikeouts, 6 innings, and they lost in extra innings. But I don't know if anyone saw this. I think it was after the weekend. I think it was on Monday of this week. He gets up to bat, and he kind of faked a bunt and the pitcher balked, but the owner was on base because the pitcher was stunned that Ohtani was going to bunt after hitting like bombs over the weekend. And it's just like, you know, he's messing with people even when he's not hitting, you know what I mean? It's just, he's such a joy. I just every week he's doing something new. And on top of this, he got checked on his pitching, right? When, you know, the umpires come and you know where Scherzer went nuts with Girardi and stuff and all that. So what does Ohtani do? He's laughing and smiling. Like just like, you know, just having the time of his life. And I just, there's just something about him. He's just contagious. I wish he was playing somewhere else that they would actually be winning. But that said, he's fantastic about entertainment wise. And I'm so happy he's in the home run derby. I'm just can't wait for that.
I just hope it doesn't mess up his swing.
Yeah, so that's true.
So the specifics of this
and
start.
I do like Vladdy. Yeah, it's good.
I pulled up the stat because I was like, there's the story about it. So the DH rules were in place. It was the first time. So the Angels essentially elected not to use a DH.
Right. So when he comes out of the game, they got to replace his.
But the Giants used one, right? Like, so this is the first time that's happened. So like, you know, just more zaniness with that guy. I love it. Like every story And like you said, you know, when he goes to do a bunt or something, like the other teams are like, wait, what?
I've never seen that. I've never seen a pitcher like literally stop in his motion because he was just like, why are you bunting? Like he was just stunned by that. And if there's someone on base, it was a balk, but it's not a balk because no one's on base. It was just crazy.
When was the last time we were blessed with this many cool players? Like at once. I feel like it's been a long time since we've had like this many cool players.
Well, you know, the only thing that I'm thinking, like, you know, Griffey,
overlap with like Ozzie Smith era, like last end.
Yeah,
of the
so like
Smith
late
era,
late
like 80s,
early
90s,
right?
Yeah, something like that's what I'm thinking. Is sort of you had that kind of.
But like, this has been the most fun, in my opinion. This is the most amount of fun players since I was born. Like at
but these young stars are just
they're a blast. It's they're fantastic. So much fun.
I want to tip my cap to Faye Webster, Atlanta-based rocker who has written a song actually about Ronald Acuna Jr.
Awesome.
Nice. She was.
That should be on the pity party.
Watching a lot of Atlanta baseball when she wasn't on tour and. Kind of developed a crush on Acuna, and so she wrote a song on her new album called "A Dream with a Baseball Player."
That's great.
Apparently
more songs about baseball players.
Throwing a pitch out and did get to meet him, but kind of didn't. It didn't necessarily. That was it, right? Exactly. But there's a nice little piece on MLB.com. Michael Clare wrote, and that album actually comes out tomorrow. It's called "I Know I'm Funny, Ha Ha," and "Secretly Canadian." So yeah, maybe you'll hear that on this show or on the pity party in the future. Certainly something to add to the.
Certainly a chance.
Do we want to delve into sort of what's going on with the pitchers?
A little bit. Yeah.
I don't think we got time.
Okay.
You want to wait? You save that?
Week. Yeah.
I mean,
maybe.
I don't think we have a lot of time for that, right? Like,
no, it's all right.
It's
all right. You know, we'll see what happens over the week. I think the only thing is, I just wanted to just put that out there. Is like, it's just a classic MLB, right? Let's do this midstream, and then were you expecting anything less than what was going to happen, right? Like, this was all. Kind of preordained that you're gonna have like pitchers just going nuts about this and managers taking advantage of this situation, right? And you know, whatever. I mean, if it cleans up the game a bit, I'm all for that. And I will say, I'll mea culpa that I'm impressed that Major League Baseball did it. I think they should have done it at the start of the year, but that's another story. But at least this crackdown, we'll see how long it lasts. But so far, so good, I guess.
Let's tip our cap to Mickey Janis. I don't know if you saw this story. 33-year-old knuckleball pitcher finally got a big league moment. This was Wednesday night, Orioles against the Astros, and he becomes the third oldest rookie in Orioles history with the 3 1/3.
These are great stories.
I love those stories.
These are always the great stories when they
drafted
in
2010
in the minor leagues and yeah
in the 44th round of the 2010 draft.
Like to keep at that, right? To keep the dream alive for 11 years until you make it to the big leagues. Ah, that's awesome. That's just so amazing.
Yeah, good it stuff. Was in the Rays and Mets organizations, played independent league and overseas, and then signed in free agency with the O's in 20. So Mickey Janis, hat tip to him. With that, I guess we'll wrap it up for this week. Before we go, though, of course, preview the pity party.
I have a really good episode out this week, including two local Winnipeg bands, Ceilings and Louser, put out a split. So I'm going to be playing two tracks off of that album.
Whoa, what does that mean?
A split?
Yeah.
It's they where, share a release. Yeah, so they put out, I guess in your terms, it'd be a 45. And
at least he didn't say 78.
Bastard. Yeah,
Brian,
45, and each band has a song on one side.
I'm telling you, you know what? They were the precursor to a MP3.
I have no issue. I collect records. I'm just saying that, like,
no, that's my generation. I'm all for that. I'll own that. That's awesome.
It's in
this
day
and
age.
I've never heard of the split. That's why.
It's pretty big in emo, indie, and punk rock, where like bands. Yeah. Because recording is really expensive, So you split the recording time and
or the production costs. Then
you, and the production costs, and you put out a really cool record where, you know, one band, it's one band per side.
Nice. I love it.
Sometimes it's one song per side. Other times it's each band gets two songs per side. But yeah, it's usually two bands or four bands.
That's fantastic. I love it. Can't wait for the pity party. Hey, that's guess what? One. It's coming up at one. And everyone, remember, let's play ball!
Strike three, you're out.